this too, right? So I don't want you to feel cheated. You know, God knows what our abilities are. Our pastor doesn't always know. But I'm going to pass out a few envelopes here. Okay, let's see here. All right, raise your hand if you're feeling cheated. Who wants some time? Who wants some time? You want some time? I must figure you got a lot of time. I'm going to give you 5 hours. Okay, I've got two more gifts here. I've got 2 hours and 5 hours. Who wants to do a little show and tell this week? Huh? I'm giving you a chance to be one of Jesus' servants. Okay, how about I give you two? All right. 2 hours of show and tell. All right, we got one left. Who wants 5 hours of show and tell? I know it's a lot of time, but the master must know that we can do something with it, huh? Who's ready for five? You ready for it? Yeah? Okay, way to go. This past week, I had a chance to visit with one of my dear friends from the congregation here, and we were talking about the Gramercy. And in the midst of talking about the Gramercy, I heard about a woman named Helen. Now, Helen raised like 7 kids. She's been a Roman Catholic her whole life. And 8 years ago, Helen was diagnosed with an inoperable aneurysm in the heart. And the doctor said, I want you to know, any minute, any day could be your last. What do we do when we live in the end times? Fret? Be afraid? Oh my gosh, I might not wake up in the morning. What do we do? I'll tell you what Helen did. She lived her life to the fullest. She lived by faith. That's how she was managing. Managing. How are you managing? How are you overseeing that which belongs to someone else? Like time and talents and treasures. How are you managing? How are you getting along when you live in uncertain times? Like Helen, where any minute, any day could be your last. Which, of course, is true for all of us, my friends. Well, Helen just went about the business of living out her faith. And on a Wednesday, she was down, and she would bring people the stitches. She had the greatest sense of humor in the world. They were laughing, and the next day, Helen was gone. Or to speak more truthfully, Helen had gone home to be with her Lord, to be with the Jesus that she trusted in, that she lived by faith in. How do we live in the end times? Last week, this week, and next week, we get 3 weeks from Matthew 25. It's Jesus' final sermon. He has 5 teaching discourses, or 5 sermons in the Gospel of Matthew. The first one is the Sermon on the Mount. Be a wise builder. God's given you this foundation. Build on it. Only a fool would build on the sand. Because when the storms come, and the storms will come, it's only the house that is on the rock of Jesus Christ that will stand, and all others will collapse. In Matthew 24 and 25, Jesus preaches his final sermon about the end of all ends, about the last judgment. How is it that we live between the first and final coming of Jesus? We call it interim ethics, our behavior, our choices. Knowing that Jesus has come and that he has promised to return and come again. How then shall we live? I want to suggest that what I learned from my dear friend this past week about Helen is exactly how Jesus wants us to live every day with our time, talents, and treasures. How are you managing? By faith or by fear? Now, last week, you know that there were some people that decided to just try out their luck. Maybe I'll get lucky. 5 wise bridesmaids and 5 foolish bridesmaids, 5 that were defiant, who really didn't want to be at the wedding feast anyway. All the oil had been provided, and they were just simply snubbing their nose at the bridegroom. Now, that would be foolish. Why would somebody want to do that? And even when the bridegroom shows up and their oil is running out, and they run to see if they can find a merchant that's home or open at night, when they get back and the door is shut in their face, they pound and they demand entrance. Let me in! I mean, who do they think they are? And somebody says, well, yeah, but what about those 5 wise ones? We're taught to share. If they would have just shared their oil. Well, Matthew wants to remind us, or more specifically, Jesus in his preaching, that faith must be shared, but faith cannot be borrowed. Faith must be shared, but it cannot be borrowed. So last week, it's kind of like, well, don't take a chance. Play it safe. Bring the extra oil, especially if your dad has given you a gas card. Why in the world would you let the tank go empty? Huh? Who would do that? No wonder Dad might be a little bit upset when you call him at 2 a.m. What do you mean you ran out of gas? I gave you a gas card, and there's no limit on it. Well, this week, things have shifted a little bit. This week, it's not about playing it safe. This week, it's about take a chance for heaven's sake. What's your perception of God? What's your picture of God? Because perception is oftentimes reality. What you imagine might become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Perception, reality, your picture of God, how are you managing, overseeing that which belongs to another? And how are you getting along, knowing that you are in fact living in the end times? Remember, the setting of our gospel is Holy Week. Jesus comes in on Palm Sunday, they wave their palm branches and they cry out, Hosanna, save us, Lord. And now it's only 2 days until Passover. At midnight comes the cry, the angel of death. And those who are in fact covered with the blood of the Lamb have nothing to be afraid of. For their righteousness, their hope, is grounded on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And they are not afraid of when the end comes, for in fact, they have already received the gift of the new beginning. How are you managing? There are 3 slaves, servants, and the master is going away on a journey for a long time, or at least an undetermined amount of time. And to one he gives 5, and to another he gives 2, and to another he gives 1. Talents. A talent, 6,000 days of labor. Somewhere between 15 to 20 years of money. At least $250,000. The first thing we know for sure is that when we want to say, well, that doesn't seem fair. The master is giving 1, 1, 1, 2, and 1, 5. Why doesn't he just distribute his stuff equally? Wouldn't that be more fair? Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever been involved when there's been a distribution of someone's wealth and you've been named in the will, you might say, well, that's kind of funny. My cousin Harriet, she got 90% of the estate. I mean, we're both cousins, for crying out loud, of our aunt or our uncle. How come I only got 10%? Well, aren't you just grateful that your aunt or uncle left you 10%? You're going to spend your whole life complaining and crabbing about how your cousin got 90%? Maybe she's been living in a poorhouse and she really needs it. You see, the Father knows our abilities, and he also knows our needs. He knows everything about us. My mother used to say, David, I love you kids all the same. I said, you love us the same, huh? I love you all the same, and I do the same for you guys, you know? And I said, wait a minute, Mom. I said, I think you love us all equally, but I don't think you love us all the same. Identically? I mean, let's say I'm an A student and my brother is a D student. And my mom and dad say, got to be fair, right, Mandy? Got to distribute it equally. So David, you get an hour of homework time. And Gary, you get an hour of homework time. Is that fair? Of course it's not fair. To treat your kids equally is to determine what do they each need. But we know that if there was a distribution and it wasn't all the same, we might get some squabbling, yes? Because we sometimes are only looking out for what's in it for me, rather than focusing in the parable before us tonight and saying, oh my goodness, I'm just a slave. I'm just a servant. What in the world does the master think he's doing giving me $250,000? Why is this guy being so generous to me? You see how easy it is to flip this thing upside down? To miss it? We don't see the master's generosity. We want to somehow once again say, oh, he's unfair. He should have treated them all identically. Well, no, he knows their abilities and he knows their needs. And he's a good master. But that's not the perception of everyone. Oh, no. There's two of them that are willing to bet the farm. They take everything and they go out and they say, I got 5 talents and I'm going to do everything I can to multiply these talents. I don't care if I lose my shirt and my shorts. I'm going to play with this stuff and see what I can do with the gifts God has given me. But there's one, that slothful servant. Did you hear what he said? I knew you. I knew you to be a hard man. I know what kind of a master you are, that you sow and that you reap where you haven't sown and that you gather where you haven't planted seed. You're a scoundrel. You can't be trusted. And so I did the only smart thing, because according to the law in the first century, if you take a gift and you bury it, you're no longer responsible for it. You see, he decided to play it safe. Better safe than sorry, right? Not always. Not when the master has been generous and has given us all gifts, time, talents, and treasures in accordance with our needs and abilities, and to squander them? To live by fear rather than by faith, wouldn't that be the epitome of foolishness? Now, you know that when it comes to investments, they usually will ask you, tell me what your comfort level is with risk. Well, there's a lot of risks in life, right? The game of risk. I read this story this last week. I kind of like to follow baseball. Ty Cobb, 1915, set a record that's never even been close to being broken. 96 stolen bases. 7 years later, Max Carey, Pittsburgh Pirates, he's got the second best. You know what it is? 51. 96, 51. 51 out of 53 attempts. He only failed twice because he played it safe. But Ty Cobb, best base stealer ever. He had a green light. So did Max Carey. 134 attempts. He failed 38 times. But 96 times, he stole the base. So how are you managing? How's it going with the gifts that God has given to you? The master commends two of the slaves. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a little. A little? Crying out loud, 5 talents? $1 million, $1.5 million? Now I'm going to give you a lot. You mean there's more? You see, this is a master that is just plain crazy because he's so in love with his servants. He's the kind of a master that we heard about earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, that he's away at a wedding feast, and when he comes home and he finds his servants still awake at 2 a.m. doing their job, opening the door, he comes in, and you know what the first thing is he does? He says, have I got stories for you guys? This is like the party of all parties. You guys sit down. Tell me what you'd like me to fix you. You want some waffles? Blueberry pancakes? Some sausages to go with it? I'm fixing breakfast. Just sit down. I'll get you the food. Take a load off your feet. And then I'm going to tell you the stories. And you guys are going to be laughing with me as the sun rises. See, this is the kind of master we have. He's so generous. He's so good. He gives us way more than we could ever deserve. And there are two of those servants who know exactly what this master is like. Gracious, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. I'm going to play with this stuff because I know that the master loves me so much that even if I lose my shirt and my shorts, there's still going to be a place in his house for me. Well done, good and faithful servant. You did what I wanted you to do. You took a chance for heaven's sake. It was for the gospel. So, how are you managing? By fear? I went and hid your talent. I put it in the ground. Don't you know that buried talents benefit no one? What a waste. Yeah, but I know what kind of a guy you are. You did you? Is that the kind of master you want me to be for you? A tyrant? A bully? Okay, cast them out into the outer darkness where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why would you want that? I was reading about a scrub woman, 38 years old. And every time the scrub woman went to a movie, she would see these beautiful faces of the actresses and say, oh, Lord, if I just was beautiful, imagine what I could do. And then she'd go to concerts and she'd hear these beautiful voices. Oh, Lord, if only I had a beautiful voice, imagine what I could do for you. And then she read a book called The Magic of Belief. And that book said, give thanks to God for what you've been given. Don't focus on what you don't have. And she started to do a personal inventory, and she said, you know, when I was in high school and I graduated, everybody said that I always kept them in stitches. They said that I made everybody laugh. So she started to use her gift of humor and laughter. And in the early 1960s, Phyllis Diller was making $1 million a year or more. All because she focused on what God had given her and stopped worrying about what she didn't have. In other words, lived by faith rather than by fear. This past week, I read a story on the internet about a baseball player named Oscar Tavares from the Dominican Republic. 22 years old. He was signed when he was 16 years old with the St. Louis Cardinals. Brought up this past May, first at bat against the San Francisco Giants, a home run. This guy ranked number 3 on the baseball future prospects list. He and his 18-year-old girlfriend died recently, October 25th, Reformation Sunday. And when they did the toxicology report, 5 times the legal limit of alcohol in his system. Why? Given so much. And when you bury the talent, you end up burying yourself as well. A wasted life. What would you do if you had a sure bet? Last week, I was at Rushford Lutheran Church, and a couple of the couples took me out for lunch afterwards, and this one guy, his name is Chuck, and Chuck is telling me, he said, my grandson made $4,500 a few years ago, 16, 17 years old is all the time, and there's a guy in the community who's been a successful investor, sold his first company for $7 million, sold the next for $6 million. I mean, this guy has lots of money. So he tells this 17-year-old grandson, he said, I'll tell you what, we'll sign it on the paper. I guarantee you'll never lose your principal. $4,500, you give it to me, I'll invest it, and the worst case scenario is you'll always get your $4,500 back. What would you rather do? Keep that $4,500 in the bank where you get a 0.25% interest? Or would you rather take a chance? 38% return this past year. That $4,500 is now worth $43,000. In our gospel reading for tonight, Jesus is saying to you and to me, how are you managing? He's given us the faith we need to manage well in these uncertain times so that we can be like Helen with a heart aneurysm or something else we're not even aware of. With every breath we take, using our time, our talents, and our treasures to bring glory to our Master. And when he comes, you want a reward? Oh, is heaven going to be a reward for you? Enter the joy of your Master. Enter the joy of your Master. And because you've been faithful in a little, I got way more work for you to do. So try that on for size, that in heaven you won't be spending all your days on the golf course doing 18 holes, but you'll be working and using time as God originally wanted you and me to use the gift of time for his praise and for his glory. Passover is only 2 days away. So how are you managing? Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. For your Master has gone to the cross for you. And tonight, he offers you his body and his blood for the forgiveness of your sins. And we say, thanks be to God. Amen. You'll notice that our song of the day, our hymn of the day, the words are found printed.